I'm cleaning up back here so we can have the wedding here near the pond. I thought it would look nice. I nodded at the still in his hands and said, You shouldn't be doing that. Your hand isn't ready for work yet. He shrugged. It's been doing fine today. I looked around at the brush piles he'd created and asked, Want some help? He handed me the still, and I went to work cutting the brush down. We worked the rest of the afternoon together. By the time we were done, the backside of the pond looked nearly as good as a manicured lawn. My girls came around the house in the little red truck. Danny had sent them out earlier in the day to find chairs. He wanted the plastic type of lawn chairs that nearly everyone had a couple of. The girls helped us set the chairs up, forming two neat rows. Danny said he had an idea and went to the shed. He returned with a piece of rolled-up carpet on his shoulder. It was a chunk of green indoor-outdoor carpet, and we laid it out in front of the chairs. This looks really nice, Taylor said. I wiped my sweaty forehead and looked at the product of our efforts. It's not bad. Not bad at all. I think they're really going to like it, Leanne said. I looked at Danny. You ready to call it a day? He looked tired and nodded. Yeah, I think we've done everything we can. It looks pretty good. We piled the tools we'd used, the still, rakes, and pitchforks, into the bed of the little truck. The girls drove it back over to the shed to put everything away, while I walked with Danny to the house. Mary was out of her dress, and she and Jess were sitting on the sofa, stitching up the adjustments on the dress. They were laughing and talking as they worked. Danny headed upstairs, saying he was going to get cleaned up. I sat down at the bar. Kay was still in the kitchen, but it appeared the baking was done. Not only from the wonderful smell in the air, but the fact that the kitchen was cleaned up. She was always so fastidious about cleaning up as soon as she was done cooking. Only thing in the kitchen now was a large pot sitting on the stove, slowly simmering. What's in the kettle? I asked. Tonight's supper. I just made a goulash, something easy, she replied. Cool. Have you seen Mel? She shook her head. I'm going to go back to the house, I said, as I headed for the door. Perez was still on the porch, his hat pulled down over his eyes and his feet stretched out in front of him. I slapped his shoulder as I passed him and said, Keep up the good work. He adjusted in his chair and mumbled, I'm on it. Mel was sitting on the couch when I came in. I looked around and asked, Where's Fred? She went home. We finished the dress, and she took it with her. I sat down beside her. It's really nice you gave it to her. It's not like I'm going to wear it again. I patted her leg. I sure as hell hope not. She smiled and stood up. It's hard to meet people today. You want some tea? You're not funny, I replied. And yes, thank you. I landed a playful kick on her ass as she passed me. She returned from the kitchen with a glass of tea for me and an ice water for herself. What's with all those tubs of ice in the freezer? I took a sip before replying. I don't know. Mikey is up to something. That's what you said before. You still don't know what he's up to? Nope, I replied. Then I figured this was as good a time as any to break the news to her. I've got some bad news. She looked at me with genuine concern. What? Meathead doesn't have a sister anymore. She sat up and looked at me. What do you mean? What happened to her? I told her the story of the dogs coming home and the way they acted, of how I followed them into the woods. What happened to her? I took her hand and said, Someone killed her. What? Why? I couldn't tell her why. I brought her home and buried her out back. Mel got to her feet and went to the kitchen window. Why didn't you tell me? Why did you bury her already? You didn't want to see her like that, I said, as I came up behind her. I pointed out the spot where she was resting. She's right there. She turned around and looked at me.
Who did it?
Don't worry about them. I took care of them.
You killed them?
How many were there? I took her hand. Look, I really don't want to talk about it. Just know it's done. It's over. Mel looked back out the window.
What are we going to tell Ashley?
I was thinking of telling her she was bit by a snake. I don't want to tell her she was shot by someone. I don't like to lie to her, but it's probably better that way. Come on, let's go get some dinner. I want to go to bed early tonight. Tomorrow is going to be a busy day. By the time we made it back to Danny's, the place had changed. Everyone was there, even Walner. He said his guys were on duty and he wanted to come down and collect their dinner. We stopped in the yard to talk to Doc. He had the Geiger counter out and was taking readings.
What's it look like today? I asked.
Not much. Just barely above background.
That's good, isn't it? Mel asked.
Doc nodded.
Oh, yeah, real good. It's what we want to see.
You heard any more about that unit they were sending to Tampa? I asked.
No, Doc replied, and nodded towards the porch. Grumpy up there probably has. He's been talking with Eglin on the radio quite a bit.
I looked at the porch and asked,
What's up?
Doc shrugged.
Got no idea. He don't tell me and I don't ask. Less shit I have to worry about.
Doc then looked at Mel.
Sorry, Mel.
Mel laughed. Ronnie, I live with him. I can handle a little shit.
Doc snorted. Living with him? You gotta be able to handle truckloads of shit.
Thanks, buddy, I replied. Thanks for that. As he started to roll the cord up for the remote sensor on the Geiger counter, he said,
What are friends for?
As we walked towards the porch, Mel asked, Who's performing the ceremony? If Sarge is giving the girls away, who's actually going to perform the service?
I have no idea, I replied.
Don't worry about it. It's all taken care of.
Sarge barked from the porch.
Okay, then who's doing it? I asked.
I just told you. Do you ever pay attention?
I looked at Mel and palmed my forehead.
That's right. Don't worry about it. He's coming. I love that guy.
Mel shook her head and said, I'll leave you boys to your games. Then I headed inside. I went up on the porch. Perez was still snoozing in the rocking chair with his feet stretched out, the heel of one boot resting on the toe of the other. I kicked the top one off as I passed him. From under his hat, he muttered,
Ay, cabrón.
Sarge looked over at him and asked,
Has he done anything today?
Yeah, I replied with great exaggeration. He's been riding herd on the kids all day.
Sarge snorted.
Only person better for that would be Mikey.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go ahead and disagree with you there. He's been acting really flaky lately. Did I mention he's been having a problem with his TPS reports?
The old man cocked his head to the side and looked at me.
What the hell are you talking about?
You don't watch many movies, do you?
No. Hollywood is full of fruits and nuts.
As we talked, Dalton and Mike walked up. Dalton was filthy, covered in sweat, and smelling like a forest fire.
What the hell have you been doing? I asked.
Been working, my precious.
I laughed.
That's funny.
What's funny? Him calling you precious? Sarge asked. Seems a little quirky to me.
Mike looked at Sarge and said,
You really need to get out more.
You're like a troop of the seven dwarves, but they're all grumpy. Sarge cocked his head to the side and asked,
Ain't you got some crayons that need eaten somewhere? Or maybe some windows to lick?
Mike puffed out his chest.
I'll have you know I prefer paste. Now if you'll excuse me, I smell something wonderful coming from the house.
Walner came out the door as Mike was going in. He carried a large pod and several bowls.
Man, this smells so damn good, he announced, as he came onto the porch.
You guys coming to the wedding tomorrow? I asked.
Someone needs to be down at the bunker.
We can let it go for a little while tomorrow, Sarge said. You and your boys come on up here in the morning. There's going to be cake and everything.
No shit? He asked with genuine surprise. That woman of yours sure can cook, Top.
She ain't my woman, Sarge barked back, catching Walner off guard.
He looked at me, and I mouthed the words, "Yes, she is," while I nodded my head. He smiled and said, "We'd love to come up. I'm just worried about leaving the place unsecured."
"Don't worry about it. It won't take more than an hour or so," Sarge replied.
Walner nodded.
"All right, then." He looked at Dalton and said, "You look like you've been working hard today."
"The fires of the forge are hot, my friend."
I looked up at Dalton and asked, "What are you forging now?" He winked at me.
"You'll see."
"I'm going to take the guys their supper," Walner said as he headed off. Sarge got up from his chair and stretched, in the way old men will do, and said,
"Let's go get us some supper before that window licker eats it all."
"Smashing idea, old chap," Dalton shouted. "I'm simply famished."
Sarge looked him up and down for a moment before deciding,
"You are one weird fucker."
Indeed, Dalton replied.
I kicked Perez's feet.
"Come on there, Poppy. Supper is ready."
He lifted his hat and rubbed his eyes, saying,
"Call me what you want. Just don't call me late for supper."
As usual, dinner was a raucous affair. Maybe a little more so this time because of all the excitement about the forthcoming weddings. I sat at the table with the kids, delighting in their infectious happiness. These kids were always happy. Despite the loss of Bobby, Jason and Edie were doing well. Maybe it was just a fact of the new life. That loss was inevitable. Maybe so much had happened to them that it just didn't affect them the same. But sitting here at a table with bowls of steaming goulash, they laughed and fidgeted in their chairs as they ate. I asked about their bows and arrows. Little Bit said she was the best shot, of course. And of course, Jace disagreed with her. But I talked and played with them at the table. I looked around to see Thad and Mary sitting together, along with Fred and Eric. Miss Kay and Jess were also at their table. Mel was sitting with Jamie, Danny, Mike, and Doc. Perez was also at the table. The old man sat with Miss Kay and Dalton and Ian at another table. All the talk was about tomorrow. Even the kids were talking about the wedding. I was beginning to wish I'd never brought it up, but it was a good thing. I was making people happy, adding a bright spot to our world. I got up from the kids' table, tickling Jace and Little Bit as I did, and getting ear-piercing squeals from them. Carrying my bowl into the kitchen, I bumped into Mike, coming out the door. He asked about the ice.
"It's at the house. What the hell are you up to?"
He gave me a wicked smile. "Oh, dude, you're going to love it. I promise, no bullshit, really."
"Well, it's at the house when you need it."
"Can we go get it real quick? I need to get it back to my place."
I shrugged.
"Sure, let's go."
"I'll meet you at your place with the truck," he said, as he clapped his hands and headed for the door. I told Mel I was going home. She said she'd be along shortly with the girls. I headed back to the house, and Mike was already in the driveway when I got there. He had the old man's Hummer and was pulling a couple of large coolers from the back of it.
"Let's put it in here," he said, as he slid one onto the porch. I went into the house and started carrying the containers out. Some just released their ice into the coolers, while other containers simply had to be tossed into the cooler because we couldn't get the ice loose. Mike promised to return the containers.
"That's all of it," I said, as I dropped the last piece in.
Mike looked at the two coolers.
"That's perfect. It'll be awesome."
I still didn't know what the hell he was up to and asked, "The old man know what you're up to?"
"Sorry, bro. This is top secret. Need to know only kind of shit." I waved him off.
"Whatever there, cloak and dagger."
Mike quickly left, eager to complete whatever sort of skullduggery he was up to. I was now alone in the house, and I didn't feel like going back to Danny's, so I just flopped onto the couch. I stretched out and closed my eyes, intending to relax until Mel and the girls came home. And I must have really relaxed, because I was out when they came through the door. Mel was complaining it was dark and called for someone to turn on a light. I sat up and rubbed my eyes. My head was a little thick, and it took me a minute to realize what was going on. Getting up, I said, "Sorry, babe, guess I fell asleep," and I clicked on a lamp. "You girls get ready for bed," Mel said as she closed the door.
"That means take a bath."
"Oh, come on, Mom, do I have to?"
Little Bit asked.
"Yes, you do. You're not wearing that pretty dress tomorrow unless you do."
"Okay," she grumbled as she headed down the hall. "What are you girls wearing?" Mel asked.
"I have a nice pink dress I'm going to wear," Taylor said. Leanne held her hands out and said,
"This?"
No, you're not. Find something nice to wear," Mel replied. With a groan, Leanne headed towards her room. Mel looked at me and said,
"I can't believe she hasn't picked anything out yet."
Then her eyes narrowed and she asked, "What are you wearing?" I looked down and said, "I guess not this."
She shook her head. "No, not that. I'll pick something out for you."
"Great," I thought.
Once everyone was cleaned up, me included, we went to bed early. Tomorrow would be busy, and I was already tired. Climbing in under the sheet, I asked Mel, "What are you wearing tomorrow?"
"I've got a cute little outfit picked out. I need to get up early so I can get ready."
"Don't wake me up," I replied. The morning came quickly, and I was awakened by a sound I hadn't heard in a long time. A hairdryer. I looked at the bathroom door. It was closed, but I knew Mel was in there getting ready. I decided not to bother her, and instead went out to the kitchen. Our chicken flock had been growing, so much so that Kay was starting to talk about culling them some. Chicken would be a nice addition to the menu, but in the meantime, they were producing incredible amounts of eggs. We had all the eggs we wanted, and eggs and all their varieties were usually available for breakfast. And with the addition of the recent supplies, I was able to whip up a batch of breakfast burritos, kind of. If you call scrambled eggs in a tortilla a burrito. What I would give for some cheese. But it must have been enough, because it wasn't long before the girls were rising from their beds with the aroma in the air. As they ate, I went to check on Mel. She was in the process of putting on her war paint, something she hadn't done in a very long time.
"All my makeup is drying out," she complained,
as she fussed with a bottle of some potion or another.
"I doubt you'll be seeing any more anytime soon, babe."
"All the stuff we stored, and I never even thought about it," she lamented. I laughed.
"Because it wasn't important."
"To you," she grumbled back at me.
"Besides, you don't even need it,"
I said, as I leaned in to kiss her. Her hand flew up and she shouted,
"Do not touch my hair. There's no more hairspray and it took me forever to get it to look like this."
So I patted her ass instead. "And it looks amazing." She paused from putting on eyeliner and looked at me in the mirror.
"You really think so?"
I stepped up behind her and grabbed her butt.
"Oh, yeah, you're hot,"
I said, using the term humorously. Then I leaned over her shoulder and whispered, "You know, since you're all dolled up, it'd be a waste to not take full advantage of it, if you know what I mean." She was back to putting on her eyeliner and replied, "Oh, I know. Go get dressed and we'll see. Your clothes are hanging in the closet. I went out to find a pair of khaki pants, a button-up shirt, and a pair of dress shoes. It had been so long since I'd worn anything like it that I immediately said, nope. I kept the shirt. It was nice enough in the generic way of button-down dress shirts, but instead of the khaki pants, I pulled down a pair of blue jeans. But pulling them on, I quickly realized they were a no-go. I could pull them down to my knees even when they were zipped up. So I pulled out a plastic bag I kept older clothes in, from back when I was skinnier and younger. In there, I found a nice pair of Wranglers. And I stood in the closet laughing when they fit, perfectly, and looked pretty good. I grabbed my cowboy boots, another thing I hadn't worn in forever, and carried them out to the bedroom. Once I was dressed, which required drilling a new hole in my leather belt, I stepped into the bathroom. Mel looked at me in the mirror and said, "That's not what I picked out." I held my arms out and made a little pirouette and replied, "I think I look pretty good." She turned from the mirror and studied me up and down. After considering me for a minute, she replied, "Not bad. I haven't seen you in jeans in a long time." I slapped her on the ass and said, "You look pretty good, too." Then I gave her a kiss and turned to leave. I smiled when she slapped my ass as I headed out. The girls were all busy getting dressed when I came into the living room. Little Bit was already dressed and looking adorable. She was in a little white dress, complete with pantyhose. Lord only knows where those came from. She had a little headband on, with silk flowers. She was the perfect picture of a little girl about to participate in a wedding. "You're really pretty today," I said to her. She bounced on the sofa and smiled. "You look really pretty too, Dad." I leaned over and kissed the top of her head. Meanwhile, the older two were busy arguing in the bathroom. I walked down the hallway and poked my head around the corner. "You two knock it off and get ready." "Wow, Dad, you look great," Leanne said. "Have you seen Mom?" Taylor asked. "She looks amazing." "Yes, I have," I replied. "And yes, she does." "We're almost ready," Leanne said. "If you'll get out of my way," Taylor shouted. Leanne rolled her eyes and stepped out the door. "There, now you can finish." I put my arm around her and said, "You look good, kiddo. I haven't seen you in a dress in a long time." Leanne looked down at herself and said, "Yeah, well, as soon as this is over, I'm taking it off." I went out to the kitchen and poured myself a glass of tea. Then I went out to the living room and sat down with Little Bit. She was holding a basket full of flowers and practically vibrating with excitement. "You ready to do this?" I asked. I wasn't involved in all the planning, but I'd picked up on what was going to happen today. Little Bit was going to be the flower girl as both brides walked down the aisle, for lack of a better word. Jace was going to be the ring bearer, but he was only going to carry the bride's rings, as the guys didn't have rings. Not that it was that big a deal. Mel came out of the bedroom and announced, "All right, everyone, let's go." Taylor came out of the bathroom, still brushing her hair. "Give me a minute." "Hurry up," Mel replied. "We need to go." Once she finished brushing her hair, we were ready to go. I had everyone gather in the living room. My family looked really amazing. After so long of not seeing anyone dressed up, it was incredible to see them all decked out and ready to go. "I wish I had a camera," I said. "You all look so good." Mel looked at the girls and said, "One thing we didn't prepare for, family photos after the apocalypse." "All right," I said, "let's get this show on the road." We walked over to Danny's house and could hear voices out back. The back porch was crowded with people. Thad was dressed in his suit, and I had to do a double take. "Where in the hell did you find a suit to fit you?" I asked in amazement. He held his arms out and said, "It wasn't easy, and Miss Kay had to make some adjustments, but it fits."
"You look amazing," Mel said, and she stepped up on her tiptoes to kiss him on the cheek.
Thad blushed and smiled. "Thank you, Mel." I shook his hand and patted his shoulder.
"Looking good, buddy."
He smiled and nodded. Eric was sitting in a chair against the wall. He was leaned forward on his knees as they bounced rapidly up and down. I walked over to him, and he looked up.
"Nervous much?"
I asked with a smile. He sat up and bit his thumbnail.
"Kinda."
I laughed and patted his shoulder.
"Don't sweat it, buddy. You got this?"
He smiled nervously.
"Yeah."
The ladies were all inside, and much chatter leaked through the door to the house. I was informed no men were allowed inside. I looked around the porch and saw Ian and Jamie sitting on a chaise lounge on the far end of the porch. Perez was in a chair beside them.
"Where's Sergeant, guys?" I asked.
"They'll be here soon," Ian said.
"Anyone seen Dalton?" I asked.
All I got in reply was blank stares. I shrugged.
"Maybe he'll show up."
I heard a truck roll up out front and walked around the porch to check it out. Sarge's Hummer was idling in the yard. When the door opened, I was surprised when Mitch stepped out.
"Mitch!" I called out. "Hey, man. Great to see you," I said,
as I stepped down off the porch. Then Cecil got out, dressed in his suit, no less. It was such a shock to see these guys dressed like they were. When Michelle got out, she looked amazing as well. I greeted each of them and hugged Michelle. Then the old man got out, and I nearly passed out. He was in his suit as well, tie and all. As soon as our eyes met, he pointed at me and said,
"Say one fucking word, and I'll break your legs."
I blinked and shook my head.
No, you look really sharp. I genuinely mean that.
Then Ted, Mike, and Doc piled out of the back of the truck. Ted and Doc were both likewise decked out in a nice suit. It made me scratch my head. Where in the hell did all these suits come from? I wondered. Then I took a second look at Mike. He was wearing a jacket, but it was over a pair of multi-cam pants and combat boots. I had to shake my head and laugh. Mike looked at me and asked,
"What?"
Still shaking my head, I replied,
"Nothing. You look exactly like I'd expect."
Mike grabbed the lapels of the coat and looked himself over.
"I think I look pretty sexy myself."
"You look like some kind of retard that dressed himself," Sarge shot back.
"Nailed it," Ted added.
Mike smoothed the coat and said,
"Y'all are just haters."
And he headed for the steps up to the house. We all filed up onto the porch. Sarge opened the door and started to go in. Mike went to follow him, but the old man stopped and pushed him back.
"Nope,"
he said, as he slammed the door in Mike's face.
"What the hell?"
Mike asked.
"No guys in the house," I replied.
Mike pointed at the door and asked, "What the hell is he doing in there then?" I shrugged. "He's giving them away. Guess they're working out how that's going to happen." Ted grabbed Mike by the shoulders and said,
"Come on, let's go out back and I'll get you some juice and cookies. And we can put your helmet on before you hurt yourself."
Mike shrugged him off and replied,
"I'll stick my helmet up your ass."
Mitch and Michelle went into the house as well, while the rest of us waited on the back porch. We were doing this early, trying to beat the heat. We were sitting on the back porch shooting the shit when the old man came out and said everyone needed to go out and grab a seat. Mel and the girls came out along with Jess and Kay. We all made our way out to the back of the pond. But I saw Mike dip out and head around the house. I really hope he's not up to anything nefarious. Mitch was standing in front of everyone, a huge smile on his face. I looked at him and asked,
"What are you doing?"
He smoothed his coat and said,
"I'm performing the ceremony."
"Where the hell did you figure out how to do that?"
I have the analog internet.
What's analog internet? Leanne asked, with a hint of excitement in her voice.
Encyclopedias, Mitch replied. I laughed. That's a hell of an idea, having a set of them.
We've had them for many years, Michelle said. I used them when I was a kid, and took them when we got married.
Awesome idea, I replied. I looked over my shoulder at Leanne and said, Sorry, kiddo. Not what you were expecting, I know.
Thad and Eric walked up and stood in front of Mitch. He shook both their hands. There were a couple catcalls from the crowd, which got a smile from Thad and nods from Eric. Suddenly, we began to hear a guitar, and everyone looked back. Sarge was heading towards the pond, Fred on one arm and Mary on the other. Behind them was Mike, like a strolling troubadour, except, thankfully, he wasn't singing. But he quietly strummed something like the wedding march as he followed the brides towards their grooms. Little Bit led them as she dropped handfuls of azalea blooms onto the ground. The crowd fell silent as they made their way towards where Mitch waited for them. It was quite the sight to see the old man in his suit with Mary and Fred on either arm. Each wore a beautiful dress, and I glanced at Mel and saw her wiping tears away at seeing her wedding dress again. The three made their way up the small aisle created by the arrangement of chairs. Fred and Mary were both smiles as they made their way to the front. I caught Danny's eye. He was watching Mary. She wore Bobby's wedding dress, and I'm sure a lot was running through his mind. But he had a slight smile on his face. Bobby may not be here physically, but she certainly was in spirit. Mike stepped off to the side and kept the chords going in the guitar as everyone got into the position. Sarge hugged and kissed each of them before stepping back and clasping his hands behind his back. Mitch whispered a couple of things as Mary took Thad's hand and Fred took Eric's. Then Mitch nodded and cleared his throat.
Friends, we are gathered here today to join these two couples in holy matrimony in the eyes of God and their community. Who gives these women today?
Sarge held his hand up.
I do.
Then he looked at Thad and Eric and added,
And they better take damn good care of them.
A little laugh spread through the crowd. Mitch looked at Thad and asked,
Thad, do you have any vows prepared?
Thad nodded, and Mitch motioned for him to continue. Thad brought Mary's hands up before him and said,
I never thought I'd find happiness again. I was in a deep and dark place. Then you brought the light back to my life. I promise you, before everyone here, I will protect and provide for you. I love and laugh with you, and together we will help strengthen our community.
Mitch nodded at Mary, and she flushed. Very nervously, she started,
I've watched you for a long time, Thad. You are a good man, noble, honorable, and strong. I've thought of this day for a very long time. Like you, I was in a dark place, and you thought I was the light, but you were mine. I promise to love you, to provide for you, and to be by your side until the day I die.
Everyone was getting teary-eyed. The words they offered one another expressed exactly how everyone sitting here felt for one another. This marked a change in our lives. No longer were we simply trying to exist. It was the first step, the first real step, to making our world new. Not to what it once was, but maybe what it always should have been.
Thad, do you have a ring? Mitch asked.
Jess ushered little Jace up the aisle. He had a small pillow with a ring on it. Thad knelt down and took the ring from the grinning boy, patted his head, and stood up.
Thad, do you take Mary to be your wedded wife?
I do, Thad replied with a smile. Then repeat after me, Mitch said. With this ring, I thee wed. Thad took Mary's small and delicate hand into his massive, strong hand. Positioning the ring in front of her finger, he looked into her eyes and said, With this ring, I thee wed. And he slipped the ring on her finger. Tears rolled down her cheeks as he slid the band on. Mitch leaned in close to the couple and asked, Do you have a ring for Thad? Thad shook his head. No, but that's all right. Suddenly, from the woods behind us, came a thundering voice. And one ring shall rule them all! Everyone looked up to see Dalton come strolling out of the woods. He was dressed in jeans and a polo shirt. I had to do a double take, then another. I'd never seen him in anything other than what most of us wear on a daily basis. He walked towards the brides and grooms as everyone stared at him. He walked up to Thad and gripped his shoulder. I know I haven't been here long, but I consider you all family, and it's just not right for you not to have a ring on your wedding day. Dalton reached out and took Mary's hand. He pushed his clenched fist into her hand, leaned over, and kissed her on the cheek, saying, Congratulations. Then he opened his hand and dropped a simple gold band into her hand. She looked at it and began to cry, then looked up at Dalton and reached out to hug him. He had to lean over so she could. She thanked him over and over. Then Thad hugged him too. Dalton patted his back and congratulated him as well. Then he stepped out of the way. Mitch looked at Mary and asked, Mary, do you take Thad to be your wedded husband?
I do, she replied.
Mitch smiled and said, Mary, repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed. Mary smiled as she held Thad's big hand. As she slid the band on, she excitedly shouted, It fits! We all laughed, and she blushed as she looked at Mitch, then back at Thad. With this ring, I thee wed. A round of claps erupted from the crowd, and the couple stood before us, smiling and holding one another close. Mitch took half a step forward and said, We're only halfway done. And once everyone settled down, he stepped up to Eric and Fred. Mitch looked at Eric, then Fred. Have you prepared any vows? Eric shook his head. No. I love her with all I am and ever will be. And I love him with all I am and ever will be, Fred replied. Kay ushered little Jace back up with Fred's ring on the pillow. Eric knelt down and took it from the smiling boy, tousled his hair, and stood back. Eric, do you take Fred to be your wedded wife? Mitch asked. I do. Fred, do you take Mitch to be your wedded husband?
I do, she replied.
Mitch then turned to Eric and said, Repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed. Eric repeated the verse and slipped the ring onto Fred's finger. She wiped a tear away as she held her hand up to look at it. It was the same ring she'd been wearing since the announcement. But now it meant more. Dalton stepped up and pushed another gold band into Fred's hand. The tears flowed from her when she looked at the simple gold ring, and she reached up and hugged him. Mitch gave her a minute and said, All right, Fred, repeat after me. With this ring, I thee wed. And she slid the ring onto Eric's finger. He looked at it and asked, How did you size these? It fits perfectly. Dalton smiled.
I pay attention to detail.
Mitch addressed the crowd. All right, everyone, if there are no objections. I've been waiting for this moment and stood up. To Mel's obvious shock and horror as she grabbed my hand.
I wasn't going to say anything, but now that you mention it, I trailed off, not intending to say anything,
but everyone was collectively holding their breath. Sarge cut his chin over his shoulder and said,
"Shut up and sit down, Morgan."
I laughed and it broke the tension. When I sat down, Mel asked, "What the hell was that?" Patting her hand, I replied, "Just having a little fun. It'll be a story for them to tell later." Mitch stepped forward, putting his arms around the two couples and moving them with him. He announced,
"By the power vested in me by, well, you guys, I now pronounce you husbands and wives."
A collective cheer erupted as everyone leapt to their feet, clapping and whistling. I noticed Mike took off at a sprint and disappeared. A procession line of sorts formed as everyone made their way by the newlyweds to shake hands and offer hugs. When I got to Thad, he pointed at me, shaking his head.
"You a mess, Morgan. You a mess."
I laughed and hugged the big man.
"I was just having a little fun."
"You scared the shit out of me," Eric said. I clapped him on the back and laughed.
"I thought it might get a rise out of you."
"Rise, hell, I nearly shit myself. This was your idea."
Dalton was standing off to the side, and I waved him over.
"Where did the rings come from?"
I asked when he approached. He reached into his pocket and took out a gold eagle coin.
"I made him out of these. It wasn't hard and didn't take long. I just wanted the guys to have a ring."
"We really appreciate it," Fred said, as she looked at the ring on Eric's finger.
"Very much," Mary added.
As we all talked, music suddenly erupted from the house. It was the Jimi Hendrix Purple Haze. I looked up towards the house and saw Mike standing on the rear steps.
"Are we going to have a reception or what?"
he shouted across the yard.
"Looks like we should move to the house," I said.
As the group started towards the house, Sarge came up beside me.
"Real funny there, wise ass," he said.
"Oh, come on, it was funny."
"That's the kind of shit I'd expect from that peckerhead up there on the porch."
I patted his back.
"Come on.
It's like I told Mel.
Gives them a story to tell later." I patted his chest and added,
"You look really sharp, too. It was a cool thing you did for them."
"It wasn't shit, and I'm getting out of this burrin' suit as fast as I can."
Everyone made it up to the porch, where the cakes were waiting, along with a selection of things to eat. The two jugs of blackberry wine were also set out. I looked around for the music and found Mike standing beside an old record player. It had amazing sound, and he was thumbing through a stack of records. His suit jacket was gone, and he now looked like the Mike we all knew. Mike turned his attention from the turntable and looked at the gathering crowd.
"All right, we ready to kick this party off?" he asked.
There was a cheer from the crowd, and he clapped his hands.
"It's not much, but I have a contribution for the reception."
He reached down to a cooler sitting at his feet and opened it. It was full of beer bottles floating in water with blocks of ice. Reaching in, he grabbed one and tossed it to the old man.
"Here."
Sarge caught it and looked at it suspiciously, asking,
"What the hell is this?"
"What's it look like?"
"It's a nice cold beer."
"Where the hell did you get beer from?" I asked.
"I found a brewing kit and a lot of supplies in the garage of the house. I've been saving it. Figured this was a good time, so I brewed it all up. This is all there is, so you better enjoy it." Sarge still eyed the bottle with suspicion. Mike shook his head and took the bottle from him, twisted the top off, and took a long swig.
"Ah, damn, that's good."
Soon, beers were being passed around, and everyone was enjoying a cold one. And it wasn't bad. Not the best, but considering how long it had been since we'd seen a beer, it was the best I'd ever had. Despite his reservations about Mike, Sarge couldn't take it any longer and tried the beer. I watched as he took a long pull and swished it around in his mouth. Swallowing it, he started to nod.
Just when I think you can't possibly be any more worthless, you go and do something like this.
Sarge saluted Mike with the bottle.
That's a fine oat soda there, Mikey.
Mike smiled and replied,
I told you.
Then Sarge turned his bottle up, draining it. The Hendrix record was taken off, and Otis Redding put on. I grabbed a couple of beers from the cooler and went outside. I pulled a folding camp chair over and set it up, where I could watch the merriment on the porch. It was quite the contrast to what I was used to seeing. Music blared from the turntable, and people milled about with beers in their hands. Then, there was the way they were all dressed. That thought made me look down at my own clothes. It's been a long time since any of us dressed this way, and tomorrow it would all go back to normal. Our normal, at any rate. I drank my beers and watched the brides and grooms dance. I watched as Sarge danced with each of the girls. There were a lot of catcalls, lots of laughing and hooting and hollering. No doubt that this night no one was worried about anything. For tonight, we would be carefree. I drained the bottle in my hand and got up to go find my wife. She was in a dress today, and I was out of uniform. I was going to get the most out of this situation that I could. Tomorrow would have to wait. Epilogue. Baker was leaning on the open doors of the big screen transformer. What do you think? She asked.
Well, Terry replied, one of two things is going to happen. One, the lights will come on, or two, the doors will blow off this thing, and it'll burn like a damn torch.
Only one way to find out, Scott replied. I trust it. I megged it out, and it looks good. I think it's going to be fine.
Terry stood up and closed the doors to the transformer.
Like I said, only one way to find out, he said, as he walked away from it.
Baker and Scott moved with him, and once they were at a comfortable distance, Terry waved to Eric. He was standing up the power pole where the wire from the transformer dropped underground. He had a long telescoping pole in his hands. At the top of the pole was a peg that came out at 90 degrees from the head. This peg was in the eye ring of the fuse holder on the pole. Eric saw Terry wave, and he braced himself. He gripped the pole, took a quick look up, and quickly slammed the switch closed with an upward thrust of the pole. The pad mount transformer that supplied power to the armory began to hum as the lights on the outside of the building came to life. A cheer erupted from the assembled guardsmen. Sheffield ran over and grabbed Terry in a hug, lifting him off the ground.
You did it! You actually did it!
You have been listening to Conflicted Home, Book 9 of the Survivalist series, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2017 by A American. Production copyright 2018 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved. If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. Take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible, so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.